Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
Any vision and any dream, anything that God gives you to do, it's not going to happen overnight, but it starts in your thoughts. Amen? Are y'all ready to hear what God's Word has said? Today we have a great message, I believe, that's going to touch your heart in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. But while you're turning there, I want to read you a poem. Someone sent this to me. I don't really know who. It's been a year or so ago, but I liked it. I thought it was appropriate for today. The title of it is called Somebody. Somebody said it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. Somebody doesn't know that once you're a mother, normal is history. Somebody said that you learn how to be a mother by instinct. Somebody never took a three-year-old shopping. Somebody said being a mother is boring. Somebody never rode in a car driven by a teenager with a driver's permit. Somebody said if you're a good mother, your child will turn out good. Somebody thinks that children come with directions and a guarantee. Somebody said good mothers never raise their voices. Somebody never came out the back door just in time to see her child hit a golf ball through the neighbor's kitchen window. Somebody said you don't need an education to be a mother. Somebody never helped a fourth grader with his math. Somebody said you can't love the fifth child as much as you love the first. Somebody doesn't have five children. Somebody said a mother, gosh, that touches me when I read that. I'm just pause for a second. It's gonna be a good day. Because I wanted six kids, because my mom had six kids, and she did such an amazing job. We loved hanging with each other and being with each other, and that was why. But I forgive you, Jess. It's not about that. I have one. I'm okay. Thank you. Thank you, Cece. He's such a blessing. But that is why, you know, I just love being around my sister and my sisters and my brother. We had one boy, five girls. Mom did. She was an amazing mother, single mother most of the time, not educated, but supernatural, powerful woman. I've told you all about her often. But that's what, when I read that about the fifth, Mom loved us all equally. Never saw any favoritism. She's a model mother. Thank you, Mom. You know, I don't have anything to prove. Y'all all know I'm a softy. We're going to go on the poem. Somebody said you can't love... Well, the fifth child did that one. Somebody said a mother can't find all the answers to her child-rearing questions in the books. No, somebody said a mother can find all the answers to her child-rearing questions in the books. Somebody never had a child stuff beans up his nose or in his ears. Has anybody had that happen? I see some hands in the place. Somebody said the hardest part of being a mother is labor and delivery. Somebody never watched her baby get on the bus for the first day of kindergarten or on a plane heading for military boot camp. Somebody said a mother can do her job with her eyes closed and one hand tied behind her back. Somebody never organized seven giggling brownies to sell cookies. Somebody said a mother can stop worrying after her child gets married. Somebody doesn't know that marriage adds a new son or a daughter-in-law to a mother's heartstrings. Somebody said a mother's job is done when her last child leaves home. Somebody never had grandchildren. Somebody said your mother knows you love her, so you don't need to tell her. Somebody isn't a mother. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. I knew it would touch me, but I did it anyway. You know, you can't be afraid of your emotions. God's an emotional God. He made an emotional people. You know, Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. And it's good to show your mother that you love her. You know, and sometimes it's with a card, sometimes it's with a gift, but you should also do it with your own words, with your mouth, and get it on out there so And I know many of us may have mothers that are in heaven like Jessie, but we can still appreciate and honor the input and the gifts that they've given us in our lives. Amen? Amen. Well, everybody have their Bible open to the book of Hebrews. Let me see the Bibles in the house. Raise your Bibles up. I'm not going to make you do the wave today. We're all kind of dressed up, but we're going to study about how the world is, your world is ready for framing. Your world is ready for framing. You see, everything that we see on this earth today was made with an invisible substance called faith. And this same force of faith has been given to you to frame your world with God's word. And the question I have for you today is, what kind of world do you really want to live in? The book of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 3 in the King James says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I like the Amplified version better. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of the things which are visible. So even though we may see a tree, that tree began in the very first point by a substance called faith, something we don't see. God spoke and he commanded it to be, and it was. So God created the world out of a substance called faith. He framed the world. And I've heard Rick Renner teach on this portion of scripture before, where he talks about the successive ages. Now, not only did God create the world or frame the world by his word, people who have followed his example from the beginning of time have done the very same thing. They spoke and things happened. Abraham followed God's example and called those things that be not as though they were. And as a result, we have the Hebrew nation today. We have a promise. We have the promise, the blessing of Abraham that we can all partake of. Amen? And you can go throughout the whole Bible and you see those that dared to believe the word of God. And they spoke what God in heaven spoke to their heart. And they declared it and things began framing up. You can almost hear the carpenter's hammer coming together in the realm of the spirit, because things happen when God's people stand on his promises, believe his word, and speak it out of their own mouth. Amen? That's how you frame your world. Anybody ready to go to work? I thought of this message today when I thought about these frames that we have all over the sanctuary. You know, many of us have projects and things that we start, because every faith project is a process. In fact, these boxes that you see on the walls were supposed to be completed today. But sometimes you when you're waiting on other people and they don't honor their word the way God does, things don't always happen exactly the way you would like it. But they're coming in the name of Jesus in another couple of months, hopefully. Or maybe he'll be dead or something like that. I know, I'm a walk in love. I'm a walk in love. I'm a walk in love. I kept telling Jesse, don't give him any more money until he's done with the job. But Jesse's an old softy. These things were supposed to be completed actually a year ago. And Ricky Bartley has been working amazingly, wonderfully well, and Tommy Boyd and his helpers. What? Well, hopefully he'll listen. You know, that's really the problem with people. They can't trust and believe God because their word doesn't mean anything. But when your word means something and you squeeze it, I mean, you push yourself because you said it, then you're walking in the principle that God walks in. His word means something. When he says it, he says, my word shall not return unto me void. It will accomplish that which I've committed, what I've sent it out to do. Amen. And I think as his people, whatever we do in life, we may not always reach it 100% of the time. And probably we may even reach it even 50% of the time. But why not reach for the stars? Why not get out there and try at least to do what you said? Amen? That's a good example. Hallelujah. I'm walking in love. I'm committed to the love walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But these frames that are around here that are going to be as gorgeous or more beautiful than the one you see in the center of the sanctuary. Because we, in fact, every faith project is a process. And this faith project that you're looking at is a blessing from Jesse and I to this church, but it was also born in Jesse's heart. He would come in this sanctuary and he would preach and he'd look out at those beige walls and he'd say, we need some color on the wall, Kathy. Think of something that we can do to make the whole back of the place look good too. And I didn't come up with any ideas. I thought it looked pretty good just the way it was. So it really wasn't my vision, but it was his. So we got behind it and then he had an idea about the stained glass. I don't know who it was. I think I'll have to, and I've forgiven him for it, but I think it was Mark Hankins. Why don't you put more of them out here? No, I'm kidding. I love the idea, the concept. In fact, every faith project, like I said, is a process. Number one, it begins with a vision and a plan, a thought or a goal. The same thing applies to your life. And then the second step you do is you patiently gather the necessary ingredients for that project, whether that be studying the word, going to college, learning your profession, you know, at whatever getting those blueprints for that house. It begins, there are a lot of different elements that have to be gathered together for a faith project. And the third thing is that you follow instructions for the assembly. Isn't that true? So with the project here with these frames, it started with a process. First, it began with a vision. Jesse had a vision that he wanted to do this and put the stained glass. And Jesse is an amazing person. He gets these great, amazing visions, these great big ideas that he gets from heaven. And he says, Kathy, wouldn't it be great if we could do that? And then he backs away. And he moves off to the side, and then we come into the picture. We, meaning Kathy, meaning Pastor and Ricky and the leaders of the church, the directors of the ministry. But he doesn't abandon us. He sticks in there with faith. But you know, everybody has a part. Isn't that true? Everybody, every ingredient is essential. And so the same thing was with this project. So we decided that it would be stained glass. Well, then Ricky had to hustle and come up with the design. He got with Tommy. They had to work. And then it was not just thinking about how can this physically work. They had to bring in people like the electricians. You know, we only had the little bitty light sconces like you see on the wall. We didn't have all the power that's necessary to light all this because behind each of those plexiglass images that you see is a lot of fluorescent lighting, special kind that doesn't buzz. Hallelujah. But even that had to be worked out. Every little detail was important to see this one vision come to pass. And I'm using this as an illustration because this is true in any project that you have in your own life. Are you with me? And so this is such a beautiful thing. And then not only that, with it start with the behind the scenes work, I had to go through books and find the images that we wanted to put on there. So we picked some scenes of Jesus's life. They're going to be the one where Jesus is walking on the water, reaching out to Peter as he's sinking. There's going to be one with Jesus praying in the garden. There's 12 different images that we're going to see in this auditorium one day in the name of Jesus. One day soon. Hallelujah. But in addition to that, we said, okay, well, what else goes on here? There's some pack. There, we went with the man who's designing the stained glass. He's in San Antonio. Precious man. And, you know, it's a big job. I do love him. Did I say that? It's a major job. It's tremendous. I'm not sure if he realized how involved it was when we first spoke. So we're given mercy. Hallelujah. But in addition to the images, each one had a scripture reference. You know, I said, I want to have a place, you know, chapter and verse, where that's located, the image that people are seeing. So that's incorporated in that. And so it's a process is what I'm getting at. It didn't happen overnight. Any vision and any dream, anything that God gives you to do, it's not going to happen overnight, but it starts in your thoughts. Amen. God relates a thought. He says, your thoughts, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. But he wants to have a way to, he wants you to know that his Holy Ghost, his Spirit, has a plan to get his high thoughts and his high ways into your heart. Because he has a vision for your life. You have an intended purpose that God wants to see you accomplish in this life. Amen? Amen. Say that I have an intended purpose. Hallelujah. Give God a hand clap. And we're going to be walking in that. You know, right now, Jesse and I are walking in many of the dreams, many the fulfillment of many of the things that God has placed in our heart. One of the things is this debt-free sanctuary. 7 years ago, we came into this place. And then now we're flying to Australia for the very first time in the intercontinental plane that we prayed and believed God for. That vision started with a thought from heaven. And then we did what we needed to do. Got instructions moment by moment, assembled all the things that were necessary, made the vision plain. Like, you know how the book said, the Bible says, how you write the vision, make it plain so those who read it can run with it. And so that was our assignment, to make it plain. And then God drew people together to help us see that vision come to pass. And tomorrow morning, we're going to get on the plane. We're going to Australia. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. The digital cameras that you see around the facility is a major big project. We converted that to that about 2 years ago, I believe. Many ministries are probably writing you today that, like TBN, I think Creflo Dollar, Kenneth Copeland, different ones, are talking about how they need to upgrade because this is true. And we've had that same assignment, but we're walking in that. We've had it as a vision first. And then we assembled the necessary ingredients for the project. And then we followed the instructions for assembly and followed it by the Holy Ghost. One by one, you know, call this company, negotiate this price. Eddie in the TV department, Eddie Walker, my son-in-law in the TV department, worked very diligently to make sure that we had the best equipment at the best possible price. And so God wants us to be good businessmen. We believe in negotiations in this church. Amen. Because God has a plan to get you the best at the best price. Hallelujah. I love that. But every faith project is a process. And you have a project. You have a vision in your lives. And you have to realize that God wants you to know today that you have a part in framing your world. You have to be diligent to make sure you hear from heaven. Know that it's His vision and not your own. And that your will is lined up with what His will says. And that what you're called, what you're saying you're going to do is something that's in line with what the Word of God says. Amen? God's not going to give you a stupid vision like you need to leave your husband and go marry this chick or this, chick. Hey, it's the world we live in, girls and boys. God has a good plan, and His plan is to help you and your families. My husband's enjoying this today. So every faith project is a process. I'm not going to even correct it. And it begins with a vision, a plan, a thought, and a goal. So what is faith? If you have a faith project, how many people in here have a faith project? I'm telling you, every person in this place should be raising their hand. I'm raising two. If you have a faith project, so you think, what is faith? Well, faith is defined in the dictionary as a confident belief in the truth, value, or trustworthiness of a person, an idea, or a thing. Belief that does not rest on logical proof or material evidence. That's what the dictionary says. The Bible defines it this way in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and you're probably already there. Just go up a few verses. Now, this is the King James. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amplified says it this way. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. What are kinds of things are you believing for and hoping for in this life? Faith is your title deed in the realm of the spirit. It's like it's a physical paper. You may not be able to see faith, but it can produce the eternal. Amen? Because it is eternal. Jesse says faith is of the spirit, but belief is of the soul. So faith is a spiritual thing, amen? But your soul has to be lining up with what your spirit is saying. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and they work together. So faith is the title deed in the realm of the spirit. It is your evidence. It is your proof, the reality that God, what God has promised, will come to pass. Amen? And faith has been given to you by God so that you can see your dream fulfilled. You know, I have this this beautiful stove that's in my kitchen. And I, don't laugh, Jesse. And I have had a moment or two when I've had every burner on that five-burner stove going. I've had something in the oven. I've had something in my microwave. I've had my rice cooker going. You know, understand what I'm talking about? I've had lots of things going at one time. And I had to be paying attention to make sure that nothing got burned up and everything was kind of just all... Ladies that cook and men that cook know what I'm talking about. You know, I can cook. I don't cook much, but I can do it. I told Jesse the reason I stopped cooking is because he stopped appreciating. He got on this stupid, crazy diet where he just wanted carrots and celery and didn't want me to cook with any fat. No, a Cajun girl can't cook unless you got lots of grease. I mean, you can't make a roux without fat and grease. And, you know, one of the books I've read that about the Cajun culture, there's a book that's titled, Who's Your Mama? Are You Catholic? And Can You Make a Roux? Those three things qualify whether you're actually a true Cajun or not. I know Glenn knows that's true. But so I stopped cooking because he stopped appreciating it. He said, I don't want to eat. Or I'd cook something. He said, I don't really want to eat that. I'm going to eat this. Well, I mean, it makes you not want to do it, right? Kind of like the Holy Ghost. If you don't appreciate what he's already done for you, you know, because the Bible says the Holy Spirit has been given to us that we might know, comprehend, and realize the gifts that has already been given to us by God. When we begin to appreciate what he has already done, it makes him want to cook up something for us. Great, amen? Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is never short of ideas and concepts and insights that he wants to pour into you because he realizes that with God, you have no limits. Amen? With God and you, you're a majority. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you.
This month's Barton Offer is very special. It's our ministry theme, Use Your Faith Voice. God has gifted you with something that has so much creative energy and power that it can direct you to God's best for your life. Discover how to line up your words with God's words. Let Jesus use your faith voice. He will make it work for you. Go to jdm.org and get your copy today. It will bless you. Do it.
You see, heaven is wonderful. It's a big place. Then I heard this, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. The Lord walked out and these children ran up to him and began to sing praises to him. He said, go tell my people I'm coming. I brought you here to tell you, go tell them I'm coming.
Heaven, close encounters of the God kind. The testimony that has changed lives all around the world. Order yours today at jdm.org.
I tell you, that Catholic can really shuck the corn when she's preaching the word, doesn't she? I tell you, I like to hear her preach. Let me ask you what she asked you in this message. What kind of world do you really want to live in? Listen, the same creative power, the same force of faith that God used to frame the worlds was given to you. Why? Why was that? To frame your world. How do I do that, Brother Jesse? With faith, using his holy word. Listen, man, I tell you, this is powerful, and I don't want you to miss all this. You got to go to our JDM app and get this whole complete message because it's powerful. It will minister greatly to you. It's time you frame your world and make sure Satan never gets in your world. And that's such a blessing of the Lord. I tell you what, it will minister to you. I tell you what, my product offer. We do it a heaven tour all over the United States. It is my best-selling book, Heaven, Close Encounters of the God Kind. It's our product offer for you today. It's about my trip to heaven and other supernatural experiences I have with the Lord. And I want to tell you something, it's going to bless you and minister. I'd like you to go to our website and get the heaven tour schedule, and maybe you can show up. And I want to tell you something, it's going to be wonderful. You know how they say in theaters only? No. This will be in the churches only. There won't be no worship, none of that. We're going to open it up and start talking about this, then open it up to question and answer. It's going to be a blessing. Get this product today. Go to jdm.org. You'll be blessed. Partners, thank you for all you do for this ministry. 50 years of preaching this glorious gospel, never a financial deficit. That's amazing. You know why? We believed it. We stood on the word of God, and we use Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love him. The hundredfold anointing's on me, and I want it to come upon you. Father, bless people today as they give. Bless their seed, and let hundredfold come to them today in Jesus' name. Man, I tell you what I enjoyed today already. It's just fast. Glory to God. God's good. Don't miss next week's show, okay? You'll be blessed. Jesse saying, I love you. Bye.
Celebrating 50 years of vision.
Motivation and momentum is what moves a vision to completion. What you start, you finish.
It's Jesse Duplantis' 2026 Visionary Conference, July 9th and 10th at JDM International Headquarters in Destrehan, Louisiana.
The world right now is now set to be touched by the power of God.
Go to jdm.org for more information.
I made up my mind to be a witness to all nations, to get this gospel preached to the end of the world for a witness. And the Bible says the end shall come. So all I'm doing, ladies and gentlemen, spiritually, physically, financially, is enhancing Jesus to come quicker.
Looking forward to the great return of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to need every one of us to be enlisted and on the front lines of doing what we're called to do so that they can see that Jesus is indeed real today.
This gospel is for all, anywhere, any nation, anywhere, and everywhere. The urgency of time will not wait for anyone. It will not. So when I see these things, I go, oh, it challenges me to move farther, further, faster, and higher.
Join us the 13th through the 18th of May at the powerful 2026 Australia Outreach with Jesse and Kathy Duplantis. The 13th of May in Brisbane, the 14th of May in Canberra, the 15th of May in Melbourne, the 17th of May, Kathy at 8:30 a.m., Jesse 10:30 a.m. in Perth, the 18th of May in Sydney. Join us at the powerful 2026 Australia Outreach with Jesse and Kathy Duplantis.
No difference how, just do what God said. God will provide the provision for you to do something. God don't send people out unless he's going to put something in their hand to use.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.